So we're talking about the trial of our faith. We're talking about sounding an alarm, and it shouldn't be me, and you need to be aware of these things. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 says, wherein you greatly do what? Rejoice. The first thing you know that happens in believers' hearts is they lose their joy when trouble comes. Their joy and rejoicing turns into, I was testing it out on my brother Lucas this morning, and he came in and said, good morning. I said, what's good about it? Of course, he gave me the right answer. But that's what it's like when you don't have any joy. I just wondered of all of you that are sitting here, how many woke up this morning, started dancing because Jesus was Lord? Not too many? Amen, sister. Hallelujah. I certainly did. I went right to the word of the Lord because it's my strength. It's everything that I need for the day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. How many want to live? How many want to live and endure through heartache and sorrow? Through trouble. How many really want to be able to endure? Yes. That's you. I knew it was you. I knew it. You, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. How long? A season. And I'm grateful for the season. If need be. And I can tell you from what I see that, yes, there is a need. That you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Many different kinds. Temptations, testings of our faith. It's only there for one reason. It's not there for any other reason for you and for me. Because we belong to Jesus. When you were born again, you gave your heart to Jesus. When you were water baptized, you gave your life to Jesus. When you were born again, you gave your heart. I mean, he touched your heart. And you responded to his love by loving him back. You said, yes, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. I want to be close to you. I want to know you. Da, 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 hallelujah. And then you got water baptized and you decided to give up your life. Do we need to teach on that again? Because from my study in the Word, this is all a wonderful living example of what I've been talking about in regards to water baptism. Because water baptism is about dying. But aren't you glad that it's also about resurrection from the dead? That's water baptism. And that's when we commit our lives to Jesus Christ. It says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith. See, whatever goes on in your life since you gave your life to Jesus is the testing of your faith. It's not like what the world experiences because you're not part of the world. You don't belong to the world. You belong to your Father in heaven. How many have a Father in heaven? I encourage you to use that relationship in your prayer more than you ever have before because you need to understand his thoughts. And as your Father, he wants you to know that. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. Thank you. That perisheth, though it be tried with fire, the purifying, even of the gold, the purifying of the dross. Also, you and I need to be purified. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Should we say that again? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The victory that we experience from the trials of our faith that reveal to the Lord his work in us, he completing the purpose that he began. Without it, you cannot be saved. Later on, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Perhaps that's exactly what Paul and Silas were. And he was reflecting about that. Then in verse 13, he says, "But rejoice." I'm not going to be happy until I come into this place and there's rejoicing and there's dancing. And I rebuke the enemy that doesn't want that to happen. I rebuke every thought that doesn't want that to happen. And some of you, you need to get yourself set free. And it's not about a virus. It's about a spirit. But rejoice, listen to this, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. His glory is going to be revealed in the heavens. We are... under attack. And I want to describe that for you. You are under attack. I'm under attack. In fact, all of Christendom is under attack, just as the Word has spoken to us, told us. And it's so important to hold on to the foundations that you have received. To not compromise, to not bend, to not bow down, but to stand fast in the Word, in the foundations, in the doctrines that you have received. Because this is the beginning. Trouble is coming. Trouble is here. More trouble is coming. You know, if I could get one thing across to you, I would say to you that Jesus is close, really close, to revealing himself in the heavens, to taking his bride. The signs truly are everywhere. And from what I've been seeing in the scriptures, and I've been poring over some of the most wonderful scriptures that reveal that this mystery of iniquity that's starting to reveal itself on the earth is just the beginning. I say to you those words from John in Revelations that said, "He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." So, one of the most wonderful things that happens when we are confronted with our place, what's going on, what's taking place, is to remember, to bring to our understanding the things that we learned that tell us, remind us of who we are. Who are you? Who are you really? And I'm sure you're going to say, I'm a child of God. I'm born from above. The earth is not my home. I'm here as an ambassador for heaven. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ to carry the message, the gospel of salvation to all the world. And then I go home. Is that who you are? I don't want to coax you into saying something you don't believe. But if that's who you are, then you should also know what your purpose is, what you've got to do. You know, North America has so fallen backwards as far as what we believe church is. We have no idea. We are so religious in our ways that we have no idea what the Spirit of the Lord is really saying, what the Spirit of the Lord really wants from us. We're all trying to please ourselves and not the Lord. I want to say to you this morning that COVID-19 is a stronghold. It's a stronghold of Satan. And here you thought it was just an infectious disease. You know, let me say something to you, that the enemy can cloak himself in many things, but the goal is unchanged. COVID-19 is an enemy of your faith, of who you are in Christ, of what you believe, of where you stand. And I'm so grateful for it, because the Lord promised that there would be a shaking, and the desire of all nations would come. And never in my lifetime or whatever I've heard has there been anything that has covered every corner of the earth so completely and affected the mind of every individual on the face of the earth in a matter of moments. Don't be deceived. It's not what you might be led to believe it is. The devil comes in sheep's clothing. The devil cloaks himself in something that you could say, oh, okay, well, that's it. You know, we'll get through this. Brothers and sisters, we're not going to get through this. We're going to overcome it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
We're not going to submit ourselves to this. We're going to rise above it in the name of Jesus Christ, because it's not just an infectious disease. It's a faith-destroying, soul-destroying, marriage destroying, life destroying thing. And sanitizer won't deliver you from it. I'm serious. I mean, I can't believe the people that are putting their faith in all these things. Don't put your faith in that. Put your faith in Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You'll be sanitizing for one thing and you'll get something else. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't protect yourself. He is the one that protects you. He's the one that stands over you. He's the one that watches you. Even the germs that come close to you. Who sees that? Him. Our Father in heaven. You can live your life to try to save your body, and in the end, you're going to lose it, because he that seeks to save himself shall lose himself. Don't say amen unless you see it in the Bible.
Amen.
Yes. I'm angry. I'm angry at myself. There isn't any doctor. You know, If you're dying with cancer and you've got 3 months to live, there isn't any doctor that's going to help you, are they? Where do you go? What's your last resort? It's amazing. We've seen people come in here literally with months to live, given that directive from the doctor, come in here and say, would you please pray? And the mercy of the Lord has touched their bodies. They've been healed and they walked away and continued to live. It's not about keeping the body alive, though. It's about preparing the soul for eternity. You know, the people that are talking about, you know, well, this racism and you know, anti-racism and all that. You know, as believers, we don't favor any color. It's souls that we're looking for. It's all souls matter. Jesus is not willing that any one should perish, and it's the soul that sinneth that shall die. Amen? Don't get caught up in that. It's misleading. It's a misdirection while something comes in. How many understand that? Do all souls matter? Is there one race on this earth that matters more than another? Does God see us as different colored people? Is God upset at the atrocities that one race would put on another race? Yes. And what has he provided as an answer for that? Salvation. Hallelujah. So it's more incumbent upon us, as we do in Africa, as we do in India, to support the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ in those places so that they might know that they might be set free. Amen. Another thing that I haven't seen for such a long time is that spirit of fear. You see, that's cloaked in that virus is the spirit of fear. And you know that that spirit of fear is being promoted every day on the news. You know that? You can go on the internet, you can find up-to-date counts of who's got it and who's dying from it. Anywhere in the world. I've seen the map. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's incredible. How many understand that spirit is fear is a spirit? It indeed is a spirit. It's a spirit from the pits of hell to destroy and rob you of your joy, of your peace, of your life in Jesus Christ. Men of faith, rise up and sing. To our great and glorious King, hallelujah. You're strong when you feel weak. In your brokenness, complete. I love that song. Rise up, women of the truth. Hallelujah. Yes, that's the call. Rise up, women of the truth. What's the next line? Stand and sing to broken hearts. Who? Who? Man, we better sing that. Who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love? Yes, hallelujah. That's the call. That's the call. Men of faith, stand up. Women of the truth, rise up. It's what you do for Christ that's going to last for eternity. What you do for Christ here that will last for eternity there. Amen? So a spirit of fear has now come in not to North America. You know, one of the things that you realize is the trouble was always over there somewhere. Amen? You remember hearing of that? Ebola in Africa. How many heard of that? AIDS epidemic in Uganda, where we go. Horrible, horrible stuff. And it just going like crazy. People were thinking, well, see, but it's over there. The other COVID thing that took place in Hong Kong and in the southern part of China. Over there. But today it's everywhere. It's covering the whole earth. And that should mean something to you. It should make you at least stop for a second and think, what is going on? What is bringing this spirit of fear? Certainly it isn't the deaths of people. Certainly it isn't a virus. What is bringing fear? It's a spirit. Do you know what that fear degrades to? Uncertainty. Doubt. It actually degrades to hate. Because in fear, there's no love. How many understand that the word tells us clearly, our Father has shown us that perfect love casts out fear. And what else about fear? Fear has torment. People are tormented. Did you know that some of your brothers and sisters are being tormented? I'm angry. I'm so angry. You know what? One of the things that really makes me angry is the senior citizens who died in those homes by themselves, alone, without their family there to hold their hands, without someone to pray and sing hymns as they were passing on. I'm angry. I'm angry. I don't care who you are. I don't care what medical certificate you have behind your name. That is wrong. That is demonic. And if you don't think that the doctors in the land can be influenced by the enemy, you are sorely mistaken. You are indeed deceived, because doctors can easily be influenced by that spirit that they have, but I don't have, and you should never have. You are called to liberty, to freedom in Jesus Christ, and it should make you angry that that's taken place here in our society, here in Lynn Valley. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I do. I don't know what I would do. My loved one was in there dying. I pray God give me some kind of mercy, understanding, because I would not take that well. Lord, we thank you. I'm angry at what's taking place in the lives of our children. I'm angry about the despair that's taking place in the world. I read a statistic that they said, I think it was a month's worth of, or a year's worth of overdoses in 4 weeks. More people are going to die from the side effects of this than will actually die from the bug. That's exactly like the enemy. Did you know that? That's exactly like the enemy. He's all mouth and fear. Get angry. And then get down on your knees. And start saying, Lord, it's time to do something. We've stopped. We're not going to sit around and watch our church community be destroyed by the fear of what? Because we are not living in fear. We're living in hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I rebuke that spirit of fear from each one of my brothers and sisters and each one who holds Christ dear to themselves. I rebuke that spirit of fear. For it's the love of Christ that's going to carry you from this planet to heaven. Hallelujah. Love that's going to overcome every single thing that happens in your life. And should you die, praise God, you're going to go to heaven because you have faith. If I die from this bug, so be it. I'm not sad about that. I get to leave you guys with a huge mess on your hands. Yeah, tell me about when you get to heaven. Bless Jesus. Are you afraid to die, brothers and sisters? It's time you got water baptized again. It's time you got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in you, quickening your mortal body, hallelujah, by that spirit that dwells in me. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care what kind of an infectious disease you got. Could be leprosy. You just give me a call. I'm coming over to see you. Don't call the doctor. Call me first. I'm going to come over to see you. And I'm going to lay my hands on you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to do what they began to do in the early church. I'm going to pray for you, and your brothers and sisters will pray for you. Hallelujah. And we're going to lift up the standard against the enemy who wants to come in and possess your soul. And we're going to rebuke him. We're going to stand against him. We're going to confess Christ. We're going to speak in other tongues. We're going to come against that spirit of darkness, and we're going to challenge it until it goes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. It's time you get fighting mad. And I've been fighting mad for a while. But I'm mad. And I'm going to fight. Also, I'll tell you that if you want to know a secret? I'm going to tell you a secret. That we're going to start taking the church from the building to your homes. Amen. We're going to have a church in your house. Hallelujah. And we won't be distancing either. No distancing. We're going to have the love of Christ in our midst. We're going to love one another. We're going to love one another in smaller groups, as they did in the early church. Why do I say? I'm not saying that because of this present condition. I'm saying that because of what's coming. This is only a taste of what's coming, brothers and sisters, and we've got to make sure our faith is where it should be. We need to challenge ourselves. We need to elevate the word of the Lord in our lives. And the word of God, you know, there's a scripture that says that there's going to be a famine for the word of the Lord in our day. A dearth. A famine for hearing the word of the Lord, the truth of the Lord. It's already happening. Did you know one of the saddest things that I want to tell you why this is a demonic thing wrapped up in here, that there are pastors and leaders in churches who are renouncing their faith. Did you know that? Yes. It's not so widely proclaimed yet, but you're going to see it more and more. I was listening to the story of someone who was a worship leader, a songwriter, wrote many songs, very popular, who was the son of a pastor and has now renounced his faith in Jesus Christ. Since this started. One of the other things that he professed is many of the songs which he wrote that are sung were written out of his struggles with faith. And I saw some of the words, I heard them, and I thought, he was singing songs of doubt, not of faith. So I think that there needs to be some change. We need to be singing songs from people who overcame something.
Yes.
Like, it is well with my soul. I love that. It's a song of victory. Huh? Hallelujah. Stay off looking on the internet, watching the news. Don't go there. Or I can say this, if you can't help yourself from listening to the news or whatever, make sure you spend an equal amount of time in the Word of the Lord. Because you have to combat it. It's the enemy. It's that fear. It's wrapped up in that. Well, how do you think it's touched the whole earth? Do you know that Uganda in Africa is under lockdown? They don't have really many cases. I think 5 people have passed away. I know it's not much. I pray that they all knew the Lord. But they decided to completely lock down everything else. So much so that people are starving to death. Most horrible thing. Satan is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Despair. Trouble. Men and women finding that now that they don't have jobs, they can't live together. They can't stand to be around one another. They're filing for divorce. Divorce lawyers said that what used to happen every week is happening every day now. And it's getting worse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." So the spirit of fear did not come from the Lord. And a resounding amen.
Amen.
But he gave us something that would be given to us to oppose the spirit of fear. The opposite of the spirit of fear, it says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Isn't it that interesting? Do you know what that tells me? That where the spirit of fear is, a sound mind runs. It's not there. How many see that taking place? Oh my goodness. I just realized that there is no such thing as a sound mind in the midst of this. Not in any leader. Not in our prime minister. He doesn't have a sound mind. I listen to the leaders in the on the earth. You hear them. They've lost their mind. The spirit of fear has robbed them of it. Of power replaced with weakness. Oh yeah. Of love replaced with hate. Sound mind replaced with complete confusion. You know, I was thinking about this scripture as I was seeing what was going on in Portland, Seattle, some of the cities that these people are saying that these are peaceful protesters that are coming out. They're peacefully protesting. And then that word, Lord says, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. So every time they're out there peacefully protesting, after they're finished, sudden destruction is taking place. It's all happening in one day, one period of time, and continuously. Do you think it's odd that people are against the authority of the government? Because I want to tell you that that's that same spirit. That anarchy is coupled together with that other spirit, fear. And sound mind is gone. Sound minds, reasonable thought, is absent from almost all the people on the earth. All we're, you know, I'm hearing about the possibility of war. They call it a cold war with Russia and China. How many have seen that? It's like hatred is this boiling cauldron. And it's boiling over here and there as we see some of the cities in the U.S. See anarchy. I mean, if you were in leadership, would you allow people peacefully protesting to burn your police vehicles? To break through and try to burn down your courthouses and federal property? To kill or to throw Molotov cocktails and every other object to get their hot? At your police force? Would a sound mind allow that to happen and say, well, they're just protesting, let them protest? And then, I mean, speaking of lack of sound mind, let's all defund the police in this time of complete anarchy. Let's take away authority and protection from the people. Does that make any sense to anybody here? Oh, thank goodness. I came to the right church. It's not just an accident. It's not just something that we should say, oh, you know, they'll work it out, it'll get better. It's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. And you said it's not happening in Canada. It's about to happen in Canada. I think we're less godly per capita than the The fear of terrorism that used to be daily news. Remember that? Remember those days? Terrorism, terrorists. The fear of that terrorism, think about this for a moment, is now overshadowed by a greater fear. The virus. I want to say something about this virus. Did you know that this virus has a name? It's called coronavirus. Do you know what the word corona means? It means crown. This virus is wearing a crown. You might say it was named that in 1968 by some doctors because they believed that there was a halo because of the protrusions that were on whatever it was. I just think this is no accident that the whole world is bowing down to this king virus. This virus is wearing a crown, and we call it coronavirus, which means crowned virus. And I'm telling you, the whole world is bowing down to that coronavirus. Yes or no?
Yes.
The strangest things that you would never think. Hollywood would never bow down, but they're bowing down. Wall Street never bowed down. They're bowing down. They're all bowing down. But we bow down to one, to only one. Never bow down. And I want to illustrate to you what I'm saying to you, because this is your faith in Jesus Christ. And I know that some of you have fear, and you have to work that out between you and your God. But when you've worked that out, I want you to come to me and put your arms around me and say, my brother, I just need to embrace you. I need to be a part of this body of Christ. I need to be one with my brothers and sisters. Did you know that the faith community is about that? We love one another. How do you express your love? By saying, I love you? No. What? You work out your faith. You work out what it is that you're concerned about. And then we'll come and embrace. We'll fellowship together. We'll hold hands and pray. We'll lift up our voices that others may join until the group gets larger and larger and larger until it becomes a force of men and women of faith, not bowing down, but standing up and lifting their hands in victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, and we're going to wrap it up here because we're having way too much fun. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 to verse 5. You know this? I've taught on this many times. It's no more relevant than this present day. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I love that because it's kind of all-encompassing. We walk in the flesh, but we never fight after the flesh. The flesh has no means to fight against what we're called to fight. So, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Hallelujah. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And as I mentioned earlier, I want to call this virus and all that comes with it a stronghold. And we're going to pull down that stronghold in the name of Jesus. Not through any way of the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And they are powerful enough to pull down strongholds. What else? Where's the warfare? In our minds. Fear possesses our minds. That's why we cannot take in all that doubt, all that stuff that's coming from the news, from the internet or whatever, unless you're replacing it with something more powerful. Because that will consume your mind. It'll consume your thought. And pretty soon fear will come and grab a hold of your heart and your life. And you'll be so afraid to die that you will never leave your home. In which case, you probably will die in your home. But you're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. You're going to die. You can't get away from it. How you die? Well, that's a different thing. Maybe I think coming up, we're going to probably start praying that the Lord will show us privilege and not let us die of natural causes. Something to think about. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So we have to be in our home promoting the knowledge, the understanding of God. You have to read the word out loud in your home. You may not see it doing something, but it's doing something. Yes. Hallelujah. When you speak aloud the word of God, when you read Psalm 51 to your family, to your children, to invite people over and read Psalm 51. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. He will deliver you from the noisome pestilence. Notice it's not just a pestilence, but it's a noisome pestilence. You go down there, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see, behold and see the reward of the wicked. Hallelujah. And then the Lord answers the prayer in verse 14 to 16, the last three verses. It's God speaking, not the psalmist. So read it in that light, brothers and sisters, that you be encouraged. Casting down imaginations. How do you do that? And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And you'll never know what it is in your mind that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God unless you're filling your mind with the knowledge of God. Because it's that word that comes into our mind that lifts up the standard. And bringing into captivity every thought. I love that. It says bringing into captivity. That means you're guilty until proven innocent, as far as in my mind. I'm suspect of everything that comes in there, and it's guilty. I'm going to bring it right into jail, bring it into captivity, analyze it, and then do what I need to be done. Amen? Isaiah 59, so they that fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. I like that. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. Amen. One of the few places where North America is mentioned in scriptures. I'm not saying that from a theological standpoint. I just like to apply scriptures to me. And his glory from the rising of the sun. It says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. How many believe the enemy has come in like a flood?
Yes.
Come on, now you either agree or you don't. Don't be wishy-washy.
Yes.
You know what happens to lukewarm people in the Bible?
Yes.
I wish that you were cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Has the enemy come in like a flood?
Yes.
Well, look around. Is this God's will? What do you think would happen if Jesus walked through that door today? He'd say, little children, don't be afraid. Don't you think he'd say that? Fear not, I am with you. I'm sure that there would be even some, I don't know here today, but some would say, Lord, just keep your distance. I don't want to make you sick. I'll tell you this, before the Lord, you cannot save yourself from this virus. And the only way that you're going to be healthy in the midst of it is to know the Lord. is to have your relationship with the Lord sound. And let every ounce of fear be cast out of your thoughts and of your life. And if you're going to die, we'll dance at your funeral singing when the saints go marching in. And if I die, please do that for me. Don't weep. Don't be sad, but rejoice, because the thing that I long for is to see my Jesus Christ, is to go home. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So what are we doing here today? We're calling the enemy for what he is and what he's doing. You're not deceiving us anymore. We're not going to let you idly come into our lives and live in fear of getting some virus. We're not going to bow down to that. But we're going to rise up and lift up our hands. We're going to go outside. We're going to greet our brothers and sisters. We're going to call those who live by themselves and say, my brother and sister, I was just thinking about you by yourself there. You want to have a coffee? You know, that kind of love needs to be back in the church where it should be. That the world may say, I want to be a part of that love. There are people dying. There are people that are living in horrible fear all around you. that don't know about Jesus, that don't know about his love, because fear has possessed their minds. Fear has taken over their hearts. And they live in doubt and despair and derision every day. And the words that could come out of your mouth to them, one who has overcome this, one who has lifted a standard against it, could deliver their soul from an eternal damnation. Hallelujah. Come on. Last verse I want to give you is Matthew 10:28. Fear not them which kill the body. Don't be afraid of those that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And I want to leave you with this last question that or statement to you. Who has the power of death? In Jesus Christ, listen very carefully. In Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, you defeat death, but the world does not. Satan still has the power of death, as the scripture tells us clearly. And he uses that fear. What's the last enemy that shall be destroyed? Death. So you mean death is still an enemy? Until it's destroyed. And what happens to death? How is it destroyed? It's cast into the lake of fire with Satan and all his demons and minions. Death is thrown in together with them. But until then, Satan is going around with this fear. But you who have been water baptized, not only do you not have a fear of death, but you have the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same spirit that got the victory over the death in the beginning through Jesus Christ. It's happened in your life. You have that spirit if you can receive that. Amen? God bless you. Let's stand together. Yes, before we bring the offering, and we have those lovely singers come, where are they? Those are our young people. Aren't they beautiful? I just love our young people. Come on, Severin. Come on, Adam. Come on, Alicia. Come on, you can sing. Anybody else can sing here? You don't even have to be young. Let's stand and read this together. You got your Bible? Only take a minute. It'll be the best 5 minutes you ever spent in your life. These are the words from our Father to us. Psalm 91. Let's read it together. Are we there? Let's have some good, not sad music, but not too happy, because we're going to go from there to being really happy. Yes. Are you ready? He that dwelleth in the secret place. Sing it. Read it with me. No. Whiz this together. Because we're going to let the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against the enemy who's coming in like a flood. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Come on, say it out. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Yes, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone, and thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now the Lord is going to answer. Verse 14, let's read it together. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, saith the Lord. I will be with him in trouble, saith the Lord. I will deliver him and honor him, saith the Lord. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's looking a lot like the days of Elijah to me. How about you? Come on, guys. Hallelujah.